Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing today? Praise God. Hallelujah. I noticed a lot of the students did take the quiz. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because I saw a lot of 90s and 100s, you know, one or two 80s, but everybody did extremely well. And as I was stated earlier, if you take the quizzes, you know, you're not going to have any problems with the test. Make copies of it and use it as a study guide. Amen. That's because one of the things I do is, as I stated, and you even in this class, I repeat over and over like a drill sergeant. Like I said, my father was a military Marine staff sergeant. He did drill sergeantry for several years. And even coming up as a kid, my next oldest brother is 9 years. My next brother next to me, he's 9 years younger than me. And the other one, he's 11 years younger. But I can start a saying that my dad said when I was like 7 or 8 and they weren't even born yet. And then I was out of the house when they were coming up. I can start it off and they can finish it because he drilled certain things into us coming up as young men. And it was just automatic, you know. And that's so very important that you get the word of God in you. You know, so through repetition and through constantly sharing the word, you know, each session. One of the good things I like about this class is that it's the whole year. So we have about 20 class sessions, 20 to 21, give or take. And so I have a lot of time to really get the information to you as we should. Amen. All right. We're going to start off by reading some scriptures in Matthew's 13th chapter. And we're going to start verse 53. I want to read a few verses of scripture. And then we're going to get into the lesson, kind of take off where we left off. And I forgot to start my timer, so I'm a few seconds late. Zoom. All right. Okay, Matthew's chapter 13, verse 53. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Hence, when had this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." So here now, Jesus is in his own company or in his own surroundings, his own community. And he spoke eloquently. They saw the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he did. But yet in all, they looked at him and says, I know you. You're Mary and Joseph's boy. You know, I know you. I know your brothers. I probably dated your sisters. You know, what is it about you? How are you able to do these miracles and speak so eloquently, you know, and have this? They don't know that it's the anointing, but this unction about you, this charismatic charisma about you that most people, nobody else has, you know, and they were offended at him. And because of that, the Bible says Jesus could do no mighty works. And this is going to kind of, this scripture is going to kind of be the premise of a lot of things that we teach in this class. Because they allowed Jesus to be too familiar, too common, too ordinary. They were looking at him in the natural and not for what God had anointed him and equipped him to do. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Men and women of God that God anoint, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, the fivefold ministry gifts, are men anointed and equipped by God to do a special work. Yeah, you might have played marbles with them in grade school. Yeah, y'all might have fought, you know, and played basketball together. But God put a special calling, and whoever God calls, he also equips, you know, and you have to recognize, you know, that there's something on them that's not normal. That's God given. See, Moses was just an ordinary man, even though he was brought up in Pharaoh's house, you know, and raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. But not daughter, but wife. But there was something that happened to Moses when he had that burning bush experience. He met God. Yes. And now when he came down from Mount Sinai, it was kind of like, wow. His face shone. Why? Because he had been in God's presence. And it's so very important that we recognize when a man or woman of God has been in God's presence, they have had a heaven to earth connection. Okay. And because of that heaven to earth connection, they're seeing things, you know, that we don't see. You know, he showed his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of men. You know, so he'll show the apostle his ways, you know, and the apostle will now begin to convey his ways to us through acts, through demonstrations and manifestations, because he wants us to get it. And it's so very important that we honor and respect the anointing that's on a man of God and a man and a woman of God's life. Amen. All right. With all of that said, let me find a good point to start. We endeavor to create this culture of honor, one individual at a time, one local church at a time, until it spreads to the whole body of Christ at large. And all we need to do this is a few good men and women who are able to take a hold of this culture of honor and spread it. You see, the best advertisement is individual advertisement, one-on-one, mouth-to-mouth. You know, When I find somebody who has a talent or ability, you know, matter of fact, we had somebody laying some sheetrock in our house this past weekend. They did a great job. And so I don't have a problem referring this particular company and the people who did the work, because I saw the work firsthand, you know. So it's with this culture of honor that we're studying, that we're endeavoring to march and to launch out into. We are the best advertisement. As we show honor, other people will see the honor that we show and begin to show honor, because they see us showing honor and they see the results of what's happening in our lives as we show honor. Amen. Like I said, all we need is a few good men and women who are totally committed to this culture change. There's a movie that I'm going to kind of make illustration to. Dr. Forbes, I've watched it even before he made mention of it, but the name of the movie is called A Few Good Men, starring Tom Cruise, and it's a military movie. But one of the things about it, if you watch it, matter of fact, I'm making an assignment. Before the end of this semester, I want you to watch the movie. You can rent it on Netflix. It may be even free on Amazon if you have Amazon Prime. But throughout the movie, you see protocol, you see rank, you see people following orders. And even though the order you didn't hear me say the order, but because the order came through protocol, through delegated authority, it's just as though I'm a colonel and I make a declaration or I'll make a command and I pass it to the next person in line under me. And then it gets down to the corporal, you know, but he takes it as though I said it. And that's how honor, it breeds honor, you know. And in the movie, it talks about, you know, code and loyalty and honor and respect, you know. And it has a lot of symbolism in it, you know. And when you're in the body of Christ, see, one of the things, I mean, we do it in other aspects of life. On our job, if you were in the military, we learn, even in school, we learn, you know, you got a teacher, you got a principal, you got the superintendent, you got people in ranks and authority, you have your supervisor, your superintendent, you have a director, you have, you know, a CEO of a company, and the way the protocol goes. But when it comes to the church and in the body of Christ, We sometimes we just think that everybody is just equal. And that's not the case. You know, the devil wants us to try to put us all on the same plane, because when we feel like we're all on the same plane, well, you know, we could, you know, you can't tell me what to do. I'm my own woman. I'm my own. No. In spiritual things, that should never be the case. You know, we should learn how to obey orders, how to follow protocol, and how to submit and honor. Because, as I stated last week, what's on them, you want it to come on you. And as you honor the anointing that's on the man of God, on the apostolic, on the prophetic, that's on the man of God, well, then that's how much more that anointing, that mantle falls upon you based upon your honoring and respect what God has put in his life. Last week I talked about life sources, and I want to kind of make a distinction here, because I talked about even an apostolic source, and that's a term that God actually gave me when I read the book, because the author, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, he talks about life sources, and the Lord told me that, well, the Apostle Thompson, he's actually an apostolic life source, which is greater than just a regular life source, because he operates in the apostolic. He operates in the prophetic. He has an heaven to earth connection. So every time he opens his mouth, he is producing and nurturing life into each and every person that receives. You know, there's not a time that I can remember in recent and past history as being a member or associated with the apostle that when he opened his mouth, life didn't come out. Every time he opens his mouth, he might be laughing and joking 1 minute, and all of a sudden he'll take a shift and, you know, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, wisdom and just revelation just going to pour out, you know, like water falling down a waterfall. Why? Because it's in him. The Bible says whatever is in you in abundance is going to come out, you know, and so we're endeavoring to change the culture to one of dishonor, to one of honor. And that's so very important that we understand that. One of the things I want to also point out, and this was something I talked about in last year's class, but it holds true from this point on. Whenever the apostles in the building, in the sanctuary, and even if the service is over, you don't want to leave, even though, you know, the prayer has been stated, but if he's still in the building, if he's still on the stage, if he hasn't went back to his chamber, we don't need to leave the service, because we want to honor him, because you never know what he might say that's going to impact not only somebody else, but even your own personal life. And then another good nugget, too. This is just nuggets. I'm just getting started. It's one thing I learned is that it's not a bad idea if, you know, if you're a member of this church or you're coming to one of the conferences or even with your own personal pastor to get to church early, because there are times the apostle, you know, he might have a meeting scheduled for 8 o'clock. He might show up at 7:45 and start teaching, or in the middle of prayer meeting, all of a sudden he just walks out and start teaching because God has given him something. And you see what you're doing, you're making yourself available to the apostolic. You're making yourself, you know, you're showing your loyalty and your commitment, because you know that anytime he's around, God could have something for you, and all you got to do is be present and receive. You know, I see people even now leave out the service. You know, I mean, now if you got a job to go to, like last Sunday, there was two young men who was walking out the service. Where are you going? My boss called me. Okay, all right, you know, I don't want you to lose your job. You know, but I remember years ago in the old church, my wife, and she's back there. I know she don't like me to acknowledge her, but she's the reason why I'm on internet, because she's back there with the video. But when we were in the old church, she would work on Sundays. And she doesn't anymore, thank God for that, because of promotion. But she would let the apostle know that if I leave, you know, 20 minutes before the meeting is over with, it's because I'm scheduled to work, say, for 11:30 or 12 o'clock. So I stay as long as I can, but I got to go. That's just respect. That's you know, when we're on vacation, if we're going to be miss a Sunday, you know, we let somebody in leadership know, you know, that we're not going to be there. Because there have been times I wasn't there. And he said, where Greg at? Where he at? You know, because he's looking for you. You know, and you want to make yourself available to the apostolic. Amen. All right, let me move on. I'm kind of OK. I was talking about life sources and I mentioned that there is also an apostolic life source that comes with the apostolic or the office of an apostle. OK, that's enough said. OK, now a life source is a being or an entity that is a giver of life. An originator or a releaser of life. In direct reference to this work, a life source can be a physical father or mother because they give life. You know, and even your natural parents, the Bible says, you know, honor your mother and father. So that goes without saying. We should honor those people who brought us into this world. You know, a spiritual father, you know, Dr. Thompson is a spiritual father. You want to honor him as a life source. And he's not only just a life source, but he's an apostolic life source. You know, founders of ministries, pastors, you know, fivefold ministry gifts and pastoral office, you know, pastors. I was speaking to a pastor today before classes start, and it just blessed me because he was sharing with me how God led him to this ministry, to this school, and he was about to talk to his congregation about moving in the apostolic and the supernatural, and all of a sudden he comes to the school, and the very thing that God was placing in his heart, he's now studying. You know, so God just, you know, and that's the way God is. He'll line you up properly. And that's when you know when you're in God's perfect will. Amen. When all of a sudden God speaks to your heart about something and he'll confirm it. You know, he'll confirm his word. Amen. Let's move on. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source, you know, because God is life. And he is the author of life. And he gives and he nurtures life. So we're to honor every life source. Jesus was the ultimate example of a life source. He is also an apostolic source because the Bible calls Jesus the chief apostle. He is also the principal life source because he gives life and he spoke life. He is life and he's a possessor of life and he releases life. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life. That word life in the Greek is the word Zoe, Z-O-E, which is the God kind of life. And so Jesus is the ultimate example of a life or an apostolic source. God is life and has given life legitimately to all those that are eligible as to be carriers of life or custodians of life. All carriers of life must be honored as they carry certain attributes or certain aspects of the extension of God's life, who is the author and the carrier of life. Amen. I'm going to just share a few scriptures in reference to that. One of them, the Lord spoke to me years ago when I was a student at Southern University. 1 John 5:12, the A part. It says, he that had the Son had life. When you have Jesus, you have life. Because he is life. And when you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, that life or that eternal life, that Zoe life comes on the inside of you. And in reference to that, one of the things the Lord showed me with that verse, because when he showed it to me, I was sitting in this particular spot on campus overlooking the bend in the river. And I was saying, Lord, you know, do you have a mate for me? And the Lord told me, he says, don't be concerned about that. He said, begin to listen to what I'm about to say, especially if you believe in God for a mate. He told me, he said, begin to develop the life that's on the inside of you. Begin to develop what I've placed on the inside of you. You know, and as you begin to develop the life of God, because he that had the Son had life, well, then that life is going to radiate out of you and it's going to attract the very thing that's already on the inside of you that somebody else has. You know, I remember, I'll never forget, I'm gonna say this little thing and we're gonna move on. But before my wife and I were dating, we were in the car with some other students. We had an organization called Students for Christ, and we were with some friends, and the car broke down in the middle of the road. And they were all men of faith and power. So they were laying hands on the car. And in Jesus' name, you're going to start. You know, devil, you a liar. You get your hands off the car. And we were in the middle of the road. My wife and I, we weren't even dating. We were just acquaintances. And we were listening to them and going on. And after about 5 minutes of them going through all the maneuvers, she looked at me and I looked at her. I said, are you ready to get out of here? She said, yeah. I said, let's touch and agree that this car is going to start in Jesus' name. And so we touched and agreed and believed God that car is going to start, and by that time they were all out of breath and tired and exhausted and frustrated, and we said go ahead and start it again so we can get out of here. And it's kind of like, well, we've been trying and nothing happened, just start it again. And he went in there, turned, we got in the car and we went back on camper, you know. But again, getting back to what I was saying, you know, you now are a possessor of life, and when you develop that life, it's going to attract you to other people that have that life on the inside of them. And you know, I remember that because I said, that's not I like this, you know. I mean, somebody who stand on the word and know God's going to hear her and it's going to come to pass. Yeah, that's a good mate there. Praise God. 35 years worth of it. Let's move on. Glory to God. Okay. Again, I'm repeating myself. I have it here in my note. And with all that said, I want to say again, the greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow into someone's life. Meditate upon that statement. Matter of fact, as you meditate on it, you need to catch the revelation of it, because certain things have to be caught, even though it can be taught, but you got to catch that revelation. You know, catch the revelation that the greatest seed that I can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed that I can sow. When I'm in need, if I sow an honor seed, there was a couple, even though their house got inundated with water from this last event we had, they're up there sowing seeds of honor to their man of God, because they know that it's going to produce a greatest harvest and turn what the devil meant for their demise to the glory of God, and where they can now be a testimony of God's goodness. Amen. We will endeavor to teach this subject on the spirit of honor, but we need, more importantly, that the revelation of this culture be caught, you know, and the importance of it and how it can affect you and your ministry. One of the things, I already shared that, I'm not going to go over that a third time. All right, let's move on to this particular topic here. The revelation of the spirit of honor. Honor is a very important aspect in human existence, but even as more so for us as Christians. I find in the body of Christ, now this is the author, Bishop Tudor Bismarck, coming from his book, he says, I find that in the body of Christ corporately, there's a tremendous lack of teaching on the subject of honor. This results in there being a tremendous amount of this misunderstanding and dishonor shown towards life sources in the body of Christ. Dishonor is an attack against the sovereignty of God. Dishonor is an attack against the sovereignty of God. And what I mean by that is, God is sovereign. He's all powerful, all omnipotent, omnipresent. You know, he's supreme. And just like he is to be respected and honored, those he placed in spiritual authority need to be respected and honored. So when you dishonor and disrespect life sources, apostolic sources, and not show honor, it's an attack against God's sovereign existence. Because God, the Bible says, in heaven, the angels are all worshiping him. Holy, 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 you know, and they're constantly before his face worshiping him, you know. And so honor begins and it ends in the throne room of heaven. That's where, I mean, and it should transcend to down to the apostolic and to all those who are in the fivefold ministry gifts. all of those who are in authority, right down the line, because that's just protocol, and that's the way it should be. Many times people walk in dishonor because they just don't know. They have never been taught how to operate and what honor really is. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. But you're not going to be those who have a lack of knowledge, because you're learning how to walk in honor. Never, listen to this, this is a key point here. Never let your man of God become too familiar to you, too common, too regular to you. That's something you definitely don't want to do. You want to keep a distance to where, how can I say this? You don't want to become buddy-buddy with your pastor.
That's right.
or your apostle or your prophet. Even in the military, I'll never forget this. We went to visit some of my dad's buddies in the military after he got out, and he was a captain at the time. And as an officer, the officers had different quarters than the enlisted men. The officers, I never forget, had houses. We were in this place in North Carolina called Cherry Point, North Carolina, and they had nice houses. And then when you moved up to major, you had even a prettier house, and a brigadier general. Now you had a two-story big house, And I'm looking at all of this, and it's registering with me, because he was an officer. There was what is known as an officer's club, and they had different and a better swimming pool than the enlisted men's swimming pool. And I would go with his kids to the officer's club and to the pretty and the PX. It had different PXs and everything, but it was just protocol. It was just it was because of notoriety and respect and levels and ranks and protocol that had been earned and deserved through them following and submitting properly to the dictates of their profession that dictated that they received the honor that was due them. No different in spiritual ranks. The Bible talks about, how those who desire the office of a bishop, how they first must be proven. There's a proving ground. And in the apostolic, there was a proving ground. Him doing and being a man after God's own heart brought that level of notoriety and respect upon him, and it's due his name. Okay, listen up here. This is another good point. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it inhibits or hinders, it short circuits, restrains, and blocks the supernatural, the blessing from flowing down into your life. Let me read that again. Anytime you have dishonor displayed, it will inhibit, which means hinder, it will short circuit, it will restrain, it will block the supernatural, the blessing from flowing down in your life. And we know the apostle, he's been teaching, tomorrow he'll be teaching on the supernatural. And when dishonor is displayed, it's going to hinder the supernatural from manifesting in your life, and so that's why it's so very important that we learn to honor, be on time, about 20 minutes ago, I was leaving out of the one room, getting ready for the class. I saw a student coming up the stairs, and I'm guessing he was late, and I'm sure he had a good reason for it. But I was late one time for one thing with the apostle, and I ain't going to be late no more. That was years ago. I had a meeting with the apostle back in the old church, and I got my times mixed up. But my spirit was kind of telling me, you need to hurry up, speed it up, and I'm kind of taking my time when I got there. You should have been here 30 minutes ago. Greg, where you been? What? We had an appointment at 10 o'clock. I said, yes, sir, I'm sorry, and I said, it ain't going to happen again. And I endeavor to be on time. That's respect. That's honor. Every little thing that you do, even in the natural, inhibits or could either inhibit or promote honor because of, and it's not just an outward thing, but it's got to start from the inside. Amen. And the heart has got to be in it. All right. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah, the anointing The Christ anointing doesn't manifest itself in force when dishonor is displayed. The spirit of revelation, the visitation of the Messiah, and the Christ anointing doesn't manifest itself in force when dishonor is displayed. We read Matthew 13 around verse 54 through around maybe 58. It said that, you know, because of they're looking at Jesus being common and they were offended at him that he could do no mighty works. You know, not that he wasn't anointed to do it, but because of their soul dishonor, the only thing he could do was lay his hands on a few sick people. The Amplified Bible says with minor ailments and heal them, you know, but see the thing, here's the kicker. The thing that changes that is proper teaching, instruction. You see, he wanted to do mighty works, but he couldn't because of their unbelief. But then the Bible says right after he went about teaching, you know, he now because they need to be taught, you know, how to display honor, taught how to operate in faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so now they need to desire the sincere miracle of the word that they may grow thereby. And that's so very important. That's because the people dishonored Jesus. They dishonored his prophetic and his apostolic gift. When Jesus said a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, he is literally saying that familiarity in many instances breeds dishonor and discontent. They become dissatisfied and displeased, the people that was around him. Let me read that again. The reason a lot of time you see dishonor is that because people dishonor his Jesus' prophetic gift. When Jesus said a prophet is without honor, in other words, I can go anywhere else, but in my own hometown, I'm not respected like I should be. I'm not honored like I should be. And with that said, I've noticed that even with the apostle, there are people who come from hundreds of miles, from Oklahoma, from not as many as shit from Oklahoma. I shouldn't say that, but that's true. From Ohio, from Baltimore, from Richmond, from Houston, from Seattle. People come from all over, from the Virgin Islands, from different countries, and they come and they have a greater level of honor and expectation to receive from the man of God than the person who stay right down the street. Why? Because they see him every day. They see him going to the mailbox. They see him in his Bermuda shorts or on a T-shirt. You know, they saw him grow up. They knew his parents. They knew him before he got saved. And they see the natural or the common side, but they don't see him as a man anointed by God. You know, we talked about Samuel last week, and I'm gonna get there. I don't want to jump ahead of myself too much, but Samuel, once he was anointed Saul, once he was anointed by Samuel, the Bible says that he was turned into another man. Yeah. He was turned into another man. Once you are anointed by God, you literally are turned into another man or another woman, though you may look the same, but. God now has got you full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's almost like Clark Kent going into that phone booth. You know, Pastor, he talks a lot about Superman and the new Superman, how, you know, he's got weaknesses. But the old Superman, once he came out of that boot and that S on his chest, he was in just, you know, you couldn't touch him. You know, and that's what that anointing does for you. It's you take on God's ability. You know, you drop all your weaknesses and you take on his unlimited ability. Amen. The supernatural, the spirit of revelation, the visitation of Christ's anointing doesn't manifest itself when there's dishonor. And this is because when you dishonor the apostolic and the prophetic gifts, the life source that God has sent to be a benefit and a blessing to you, you cut off that life source from your life. You cut off what God is trying to do through him to you, and you don't want to do that. Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And basically says, he is literally saying, and I'm repeating myself again, that in many instances, we breed dishonor and discontent, which will disconnect us from the power of the apostolic source that God has sent to be a deliverance for us and a source of blessing in our lives. So we don't want to do that. Elijah was sent to be a deliverer, but the woman, the widow woman, had to first bake a cake for him. She had to first honor him. And there was one lady, she actually built a prophet's chamber. So when Elijah would be passing by, she had a place to honor him for he can rest, you know. And sometimes God may just give you special things that he may want you to do for your pastor or for your man of God or for your woman of God, you know, in areas where you can honor them and show respect and show honor to them. You know, I know some men, one particular man years ago, he just took it upon himself just to be the apostle's armor bearer. He would just show up to wherever the apostle would minister and just be there and got his briefcase, opened the door for him. It was never asked to be done, but he just knew that he needed to show honor, you know, and God has honored and blessed him because of his obedience to in following God and honoring, you know, the apostle in the way that he did. You know, so you just never know what God might call you to do to honor your man and your woman of God, your pastor, you know, the people that you're under. And I'm talking even to those who are on the Internet, you know, be sensitive because God will show you and give you insight and in direction on how you can show honor. I mean, sowing seeds of honor through monetary blessing is one way to show honor. But there are other ways that you show honor also. Amen. When a man is operating under the anointing, he is literally, as I said, turned into another man, and he's not the same. A true man of God becomes a captain. It said, this is what it was said about Samuel, about Saul, that he became a captain over God's inheritance, or a channel for God's blessing to flow through. You see, when God anoints you, you become a channel. The apostle is a channel where God is using him to funnel. He talked 2 or 3 years ago about a funnel, and God is pouring into him as an open funnel. And as he goes from church to church, you know, doing supernatural apostolic, you know, super money come to you conferences, he's just funneling that the blessings that he's receiving from God down to the people. You know, it's a heaven to earth connection. Amen. And that's so very important that we understand that. And the Spirit of the Lord will come up on him. And then when that Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, he's turned into another man. All this took place because of a seed. When Saul, when they were going to kind of getting back to the story from last week, one of the things that I'll do, I'll start something and then the week later I may just latch back onto it. But we talked last week about how Saul was looking for Samuel because he had lost some donkeys, and they wanted to go to the man of God, and they said that the man of God was an honorable man. Saul didn't have a gift, but his servant did, and the servant had a couple of shekels of silver, which they presented to Samuel, who was the prophet, the man of God in that time frame. And because of the seed that they sowed, it opened the door, even though the Lord had already spoken to Samuel to anoint Saul to be king over Israel. But that seed had something to do with it. That seed, the Bible says, your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Your gift, you know, that seed opened the door for even though Saul in later years, and we're going to talk about that in future classes, he messed up and he didn't obey God. But at that moment, his seed and his submission to Samuel opened the door for the anointing of God to come upon his life. And that's what you want for you. You want that anointing to come upon your life. Amen. All right. Okay. Let's talk about life sources for a minute. A life source comes from God, who is life. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. A sovereign is a person who is supreme in power and authority. Anytime a life source is violated, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on every level. Anytime a life source is violated, in other words, you dishonor and disrespect it, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. A life source is anyone God has sent into your life who gives and nourishes life, who is an originator of life, physical or spiritual, a giver or a releaser of God's life. Because God is life, and they that are nourishing God's government, which brings life, they are life sources and are deserving of honor. And that's so very true. A life source, somebody who's an originator, who nourishes life, who gives life. And anybody who nourishes and gives life because God is life, they are worthy of honor. But the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said that I am come that you might have life, or Zoe, and that you might have it more abundantly. A life source can be, like I said, your natural parents. It can be elders in the church, your pastor, spiritual fathers, any one of the fivefold ministry gifts. It can even be community leaders or government officials, you know, up to all the way up to the president, anybody who gives and nurtures life. And we're to honor those people who are, you know, life sources, and gives and nurtures life. Amen. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the offense. It stated, let me read Matthew 13 and 54 in the Message Bible. How am I on my time? About 12 minutes? 9 minutes? Okay, thank you. This is what the Message Bible says. When Jesus finished teaching these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. He made a real hit, impressing everybody. We had no idea his words were so good, they said. How did he get so wise, get such ability? But in the next statement, they were cutting him down, dishonoring him. We've known him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We know his mother. We know Mary, who was Mary. We know his brothers, James and John and Simon and Judas. All his sisters are here. Who does he think he is? This is the Message Bible. They got their noses all out of joint. But Jesus said, a prophet is taken for granted in his own hometown and his family. He did do not many miracles there because of their hostile indifference. They cut off, now this is what I added, they cut off the blessing because they dishonored the life source that God had sent. You know, and this is the culture that we're changing, you know, through this apostolic government, through the fivefold ministry gift, through the apostle and the prophet lining up properly as the heads of the church. Establishing doctrine, correcting doctrine, mobilizing the troops and putting people in their proper positions. And that's so very important. You know, one of the things he said, you know, if God has a call upon your life, your apostle or your pastor, he'll know it. You know, that's why it's so important to sit and be still. Don't be hasty about jumping out into ministry, because if there's an anointing there, your man of God will know it, and he'll do everything he can to endorse it. But the worst thing you can do is to try to endorse yourself, because what's on him is what you need in order to be successful. You know, I've seen people who launched out and became shipwrecked because they launched themselves out. They weren't sent. Everybody in the Bible who accomplished anything was sent. They didn't just went. They were sent. When you're sent by God or sent by apostolic government, you're sent and you're sent equipped. You're sent with everything that you need. You're sent with the blessing. You know, So don't get overzealous. You know, stay put. Stay. I always tell people, stay in your position. Stay in your lane. Stay where God will call you to do. You know, and in due season, God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to promote you. You know, if you're faithful at what I've called you to do. Because faithfulness, believe me, we're going to talk about a lot about faithfulness and yielding to God in other classes, how important that is to be faithful and to yield properly. Amen. All right. I'm going to read something from Romans chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. We're going to be getting into this more readily in the next class session. It says in Romans 13, it says, render therefore all their dues, what is owed them, tribute, which is taxes, to whom tribute is due, custom, which is respect of their culture, to whom custom, fear, which is reverence, to whom fear, honor, which is recognition and respect, to whom honor. Owe no man nothing but to love him, for he that loveth another, it fulfills the law. The Amplified Bible says, render to all men their dues, pay taxes to whom taxes is due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So it's so very important that we pay honor to whom honor is due. Let me give you a definition of honor in the last few minutes we got. Honor comes from the Anglo-French word, honneur, O-N-U-R. This word also connotates elevation. It comes from the Latin word honus, which means honor. First, honor is one that has high esteem and high public esteem. They are people, are individuals of high reputation. Secondly, those are individuals that have notoriety or recognition, and all this is in your book. Thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointing, their gifting, and their ranks. And that's so very important that we understand that, you know, people of high esteem, and because of their years of service, the word honor also is going to denote credits due an individual because of their profession. It's one that has been one who has been decorated by their office or peers and decorated because of the writ of their religion that they're in, or because they were promoted by God. And in most cases in the apostolic, it's because you were promoted by God, not so much that you were promoted by men, but that God promotes. Amen. Some synonyms of honor is homage, respect, reverence. And there's such a thing as a reverential fear. Reverential fear is a respect and an awe. It's not that you're afraid, but you respect something enough to honor it and to not play with it, and to have to stand at awe in front of it. You know, when my father said something, I respected and I honored it, because I know if I disrespected it, I was going to receive a backhand of his respect. You know, and I didn't want that. You know, I never forget. I'm gonna say this. The Bible says that the anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. But when you become a burden and a yoke, well, then that's what is known as the backhand of the anointing. You know, when you get in the way of what God is trying to do, you know, the anointing. You know, and sometimes people do that. They, instead of letting God and fulfilling God's plan and their purpose, they'll get in the way. And they'll try to do something that God didn't ordain. You know, the Bible says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So you don't want the backhand of the anointing. You want God to open hand where you receive. Amen. All right. Continue reading in your book, and we're going to move on to the next class, next session. Amen.